White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 796. Football practice is underway. What have we learned? The AU Wishbone is next.
You are listening to the AU Wishbone, almost credible sports discussion on the White Rocket Entertainment Network.
Bye-bye, Bo! Touchdown, Auburn!
The kick is good! Auburn wins! Shivers just ran through a man! Touchdown, Auburn!
From the palatial White Rocket Studios in Southern Illinois and somewhere in off
Western
Western Virginia, not West Virginia, Western Virginia.
It's like the John Denver song. It's about Western Virginia, not West Virginia.
Interesting. It's the AU Wishbone Podcast, John. Where are you tonight?
Where in the world is John Ringer? I am in Wytheville, Virginia, which is on I-81, about halfway between Roanoke and Bristol.
Mm.
Wytheville is a small town, the county seat of Wythe County, named for John Wythe, who is a signer of the Declaration of Independence.
Wow.
And his Wikipedia says the father of American jurisprudence. I don't know about that.
Who knew?
And a mentor to Thomas Jefferson.
Wow.
And with the one of the great things about Virginia is it's a very weirdly shaped state, very long east-west state.
It is.
As the people that live and work in the bottom far southwestern corner like to remind us, they are closer to seven other state capitals than Richmond.
That's right.
And it does go pretty far west. I mean, I'm not nearly all the way in the southern southwestern end of the state, and I am further west than a number of cities in Ohio.
Wow.
I'm further west than Pittsburgh and Akron.
Wow. Yeah, you know, I was going to say, when I lived up there, when you and I were both going to Georgetown in graduate school, I remember one time I took an alternate route just because I was so sick of I-95, I-85, and I drove the width of Virginia out to Bristol, and then straight down from Bristol through Tennessee all the way down to Atlanta or Birmingham or wherever it was. I don't even remember now. And the thing that struck me was that the trip was about half the width of Virginia and half everything else.
You went straight down the Shenandoah Valley on I-81, which is not a fun drive either. It's not as bad as 95, 85 used to be, but there's a lot of tractor trailers on it.
It just seemed like it took forever to get from our end on the east coast of Virginia to Bristol. That was just a very, very long, long drive. And once I got there, I was halfway to Birmingham, basically. Does it go down to Atlanta or Birmingham? Birmingham, probably.
You could do either. Like, you could come out at, like, Chattanooga and go straight down to Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can go over, like, to Nashville and then come to straight down to Birmingham.
65, yeah. Which is the way I usually come from up here. So, okay. Well, man, those were long trips. Driving from Georgetown to Auburn, which I did several times that couple of years there, it was about a 13.5-hour drive, and that was if I didn't stop except to gas up the car and run in the restroom for 2 seconds. So, whew, man, I couldn't do that these days. I'd die. I just couldn't even begin to do it these days. But anyway, well, let's see. We've got several things going on. But, of course, the very first thing, we were out of one last week. It's the Auburn Fun Meter, and we bottomed it out. Like, 2 weeks ago, we were at a 9 out of 10, and then last week we were at a 1. I honestly, football practice is going on. There's a couple of things to hang our hat on, but overall, I'm not happy about the situation right now.
No, I mean, I think there's been a few positive things, but there has not been enormous positive things to pull me way back up. So I'm not where I was last week, but it's not good, so I'll say 2.5.
Just having you-know-who in the final you-know-what.
Oh, ding, ding.
That alone keeps me down around the two, so I'll say a two right now. Yeah, not good, but again, though, that's sort of collateral damage. That's not actual damage to us. It's just we don't like seeing our arch enemy do well. You could read more into it, I suppose, and we'll see how it plays out. But I feel like Oates won't be at Alabama for long. Am I crazy?
They just offered him a gigantic new contract. I mean, they're, you know.
All that Saban leftover money they're not paying now?
Yeah, that's right. They're saving, but also I think they realize that he's good and that, you know, at the beginning of the hiring cycle, like Michigan and Ohio State, some other big programs are looking for coaches, and his name was out there.
Mm-hmm. It will be now, yeah. If it wasn't before.
Oh, it was 100% before. His name was everywhere.
Yeah.
For every big job that opened there, Wes trying to get Oates. But I think they just offered him a giant new contract. I don't think he's going anywhere unless eventually he goes to the NBA or something.
He's a remarkably unlikable individual. We're kind of spoiled by having a very likable coach. You know, everybody loves him except the people that have a vendetta against him for reasons that we detailed in our book, Auburn Basketball from Barkley to Bruce. We detailed him in the book. But other than them, everybody loves him. And yet, Oates just rubs me wrong way every time I see him on TV. I just go, ugh. And it's not because Alabama. I mean, if he was the coach of Nevada, you know, I'd be like, ugh, I don't like that guy. He's just creepy, so.
Slimy.
Yeah, I hope he goes elsewhere sooner rather than later. Maybe he'll say, yeah, I don't want your Alabama money. I want to go off and win national championships at UCLA or wherever the crap. Kentucky, they're going to keep him one more year. So even if he takes his contract now, he might wind up in Lexington. So, well, anyway, we'll get to that kind of thing soon. But A-Day is Saturday, John. We've made it through the long, cold winter of discontent, and we've got A-Day coming up. Spring football is happening, and it is 2 o'clock Eastern, 1 o'clock Central on ESPN+. And what do we know? What are we thinking? Where's our brain at right now?
Well, first of all, I mean, because we had the long basketball season and postseason, and then spring practice was kind of split up by the spring break. A-Day's kind of stuck up on me, to be honest, right?
Yes.
I mean, I feel like other years, spring practice seems to go on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
And this year,
boom.
You know, I feel like it's really kind of stuck up on us. I
haven't heard much information come out of it, for one thing. I haven't. Yeah. I mean, just, you know, there's been like, oh, Coleman looks great. Oh, the quarterback situation, and that's really all I've heard anybody talk about.
Coleman and the other new freshmen who have been in practice have all looked good.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I think that's and then quarterbacks uneven.
Shocking.
You know, I think new schemes on offense and defense and, you know, trying to get settled. But, you know, trying to fill some big shoes in the secondary. I agree. I don't think we've learned a whole lot.
No. Well, I mean, we've learned that we've got more to learn, really. We've learned that the jury's out in some cases, that the players we thought would be good are good. The players we thought would be question marks are question marks. It's just kind of been a reaffirmation to whatever degree, you know, we've learned anything, I think.
I think that's fair.
Yeah. I mean, but I agree, though. Part of it is that, you know, Until recently, we haven't had great basketball seasons. You know, we kind of got used to the football season ends in December or January, and then we suffer through months of nothing. And then with basketball, the last few years, you know, being exciting and in every year, but especially 19 and then 22 and then 24. In those years, it's kind of gotten past us that spring was coming up because we've been focused on basketball so much.
And it's a good point. In those years when we're out of the basketball tournament early and we're not paying attention, then we're desperate for spring football content.
Yeah.
But in the years that basketball goes on and on, we're like, I'll get to that.
Yeah.
I'll pay attention to that later.
So we did have a scrimmage, apparently.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, how real the scrimmage was and how much we learned, I think it's a lot of the same stuff you just repeated, right? I think there wasn't anything taken away. I think, you know, The lessons are what we know, kind of. And so I have it here, like, what have we learned so far in spring practice? And I think you just recapped it. other than that, I think Keldrick Falk has stepped up on the defensive line a little bit. He's gotten bigger and stronger. We have a couple of transfers on the defensive side of the ball, and they look like they're ready to play.
That's what I was going to mention. The only other thing I can remember hearing anything about is that our defensive line has looked even better than last year, which is a relative thing, but you know what I mean.
Well, I mean, defensive line was. I'm going to be clear. Defensive line is a concern for me.
Okay.
Heading into the year, but I think I was very worried about it, and I've gone from extreme, you know, very worried to just mildly worried. Maybe how about that? I think some of the transfers have made plays, but we joke about this every year with spring practice. It's if you look good at one side of the ball, what does that say about the other side of the ball?
Exactly, and it usually ends up being about what we're afraid of.
That's right.
Now, wait. To be fair, the exception is our defense did turn out to be better last season than we thought it was going to be during the spring, right? Because the running backs were looking good in the spring, and we were like, well, gosh, if those guys are punching holes and running all over our defense, everybody's going to, and they really didn't. Our defense was fairly stout last year.
Yeah, it was. It was solid. It wasn't great, but the secondary was really good. The linebackers came on, and the defensive line was okay.
Mm-hmm. They won some games for us.
Yes.
Cal,
really did. And
notably.
They kept us in games.
Yes.
For sure. Mm-hmm. I think the only thing, I think on offense, the other thing we've learned is we have a couple of transfer receivers, Robert Lewis from Georgia State and Sam Jackson, who played quarterback for Cal in that game.
Yes.
Is a wide receiver transfer. But Robert Lewis, has looked pretty good in the spring, supposedly. So that's a guy I think can make some plays.
Yeah, I've heard good things. And the Sam Jackson thing, it's what's really interesting about him is not only we just played him last year, but his former team plays us in Auburn this year, and he went to high school 1 year with our quarterback. So
with Peyton Thorne, yeah. So they have a connection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was, and he hasn't played quarterback since like he was 16 or something. It's been years since he played quarterback. And I saw that Freeze said, yeah, it might be a mistake to do this, but we're going to give it a shot, because apparently that one season they played together in high school, when Jackson was the receiver, he caught all kind of passes and all kind of touchdowns from Thorne. So, you know, it kind of reminds me of having Lee Guess when we had Cox. Yeah. Yeah. Kind of reminds me of that.
But also, I think anything that helped Peyton Thorne calm down and relax and play more loose and more confident football, even if Sam Jackson doesn't take a bunch of snaps, his presence on the practice field and in this game, I think, will, you know, could help Thorne be better. So I think that's something to keep an eye on.
Yeah. Well, we definitely were ready to move away from whatever we were doing last year, because it had its moments, but they were few and far between. And when we look back at the offense last year, at least as far as I'm concerned, it feels to me like the moments where our offense was at its best was when Thorne was improvising and kind of making stuff up himself, just taking off and running, you know, or whatever. And when he tried to do an actual, like, scripted play, that seemed to be when everything broke down and we'd get a turnover, a sack, or something like that.
I think some of that was, you and I talked a lot when we sat together in the upper deck at Arkansas, but then some of our guys last year could not get open one-on-one.
No.
Right? I think we ran the ball okay, but you know, when you can't throw the ball at some point, it's a problem. And I think our receivers that we had last year could not get open one-on-one. And that's why the Cam Coleman story is so important. And you know, Bryce Kane is there making plays at spring practice, and he's going to be okay. And then Perry Thompson and Malcolm Simmons will be there this summer. So I think you put those guys with Caleb Burton and this Robert Lewis guy, and I think we'll see what happens. Now, on the returning side, we got Jay Fair and Camden Brown and Coy Moore. And all those guys are in the, you know, I'm not believing any hype I hear out of spring practice category to me.
Well, they're all on notice now. They got to step up or they're going to get left behind. I mean, that's.
Yeah, but there's been a bunch of Camden Brown is making plays stuff this spring.
I have heard that, yes.
And I, you know, I meant that you gotta show me at this point.
So. Well, we also got to remember that Cam Coleman is awesome. There's no doubt about that. But we also are bringing in another 5-star and 2 more 4 mm-hmm. stars in addition to whoever's yeah. coming back that maybe is better. So, you know, I mean, it's not like we're bringing one guy in. We're bringing a whole squadron of receivers in and hoping that at least a couple of them pan out, you know.
That's right. No, throw a bunch of talent at the problem, mm-hmm. and I think that, you know, those guys are going to play early and often.
Well, Alabama's receivers the last few years made some mediocre quarterbacks look pretty good, so I'm hoping that if Thorne can play a little better than mediocre and have some good receivers out there and some good running backs, you know, who knows? So,
well, and this was the freeze motif at Ole Miss, right? He had whatever Dr. Chad Kelly, you know, playing quarterback, and but he had some NFL guys out there, wide receiver, and they tore some teams up. So,
all right. So, what else we know in the depth chart? We got. Well, let's talk about quarterback for a second, because there is some mystery here. So, obviously, Thorne is running first, and you had to, I mean, put it this way. If Peyton Thorne was not running first right now, then there's a problem, because he should be. And the only way Peyton Thorne should not be running first is if he's having a really bad spring and nobody else is any better than that, right? So,
It's that or like Walker White walked on a campus and he's the greatest quarterback in college history.
Yeah, but not yet, I don't think. Can't expect that. Can't expect that yet. So, but the kind of mystery figure there is Holden Gurner, because we keep being told over and over what a great passer he is, and yet he never seems to make a move in practice. He never seems to go up the depth chart. And when he is given time, you know, scant playing time, he doesn't do anything with it. So I'm at my kind of my wit's end with Holden Gurner. I don't care how great of a passer he is. If he can't be a quarterback, a whole quarterback for the team, then what good is he? I'd love him to go out there and kick. I want to make this clear. I'm not running the kid down. And at this point, I think he's like 37 when I say kid. But I'm not running him down. I want them all to succeed. But I'm just saying, given what we know right now, should I be holding out some kind of hope that he's going to have a revelation and suddenly be a great quarterback, or is he leaving, or what's the deal with him? I don't know.
I think he is this is my opinion, mm-hmm. John Ringersman. I think he's a nice passer who's a career backup, because I think he can't process and execute at the intensity of an SEC game. Now, maybe he grows into that, but I don't think so. I think we saw the difference between he and Hank Brown in that game, where Hank Brown came in with no fear and was attacking.
Yeah, he was.
And I think Holden Gurner was overthinking it. And so my opinion is that, you know, if something happened to Thorne, I think we'd be playing Hank Brown and Walker White in a game this fall.
Wow. So maybe he needs to – where would he go? I mean, maybe he needs to go to a 1AA type, whatever we call him
again,
now.
Again, I don't want to run him off right away. We could have 2 quarterbacks get hurt this fall.
Yeah,
stuff happens.
I'm just saying, what should he do if he wants playing time and to try to? Because he's not getting any right now.
No, I mean, I think if he wanted to play, he's going to have to drop down a level somewhere.
Yeah,
and go to an offense that suits him, where he'll have time to pass and do what he wants to do. So
yeah, I think so.
He's not going to have SEC defensive linemen in his face. So.
So the running backs look pretty much like last year, right? I don't think there's any.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, Hunter, Batee, Austin, Cobb, that's pretty solid.
Yeah.
You know, the depth is good. The talent is excellent. They're all more experienced. We're putting more, you know, weight room muscle on Austin and Cobb. I think we're going to be fine at running back. I think we're going to be really productive at running back. Batee went into the portal for a minute and then came out, and I think he could still be a valuable piece. There were a lot of plays last year where he was open and we missed him with the short swing pass.
Oh, geez.
And I'm hoping we can execute that a little better. So
I'm ready for the Damari Alston show. I've been waiting for 2 years. We've seen flashes of brilliance, but then he gets hurt or something. We know.
No, you're right. If he's healthy, he could be a stud.
Yes, he has his moments. But he needs to actually be consistent with them. So we'll see. What do we know about the offensive line?
Well, I mean, we returned a lot of talent, and I think we brought in some guys. We brought in a tackle with starting SEC experience from Mississippi State named Percy Lewis, and I think we know he's going to play. Dylan Wade's going to play, moved inside to guard, and then we have Clay Whedon, at center, and Isaiah Miller at the other outside tackle. And then we have one guard position left where there's a bit of a battle. I think, probably Jaden Muskrat, Connor Liu. I'm sorry, Connor Liu's the one who's the center and the center of the future. So,
yeah.
And the Whedon's a guard competing with those other guys. So, I mean, we've also brought in two true freshman offensive linemen, DeAndre Carter and Faber Edwin. So that's, again, with the transfers and these guys coming in. And we still also don't forget we have the guy that we signed from Northwestern a year ago after their coach got fired, Dylan Senda,
mm-hmm.
who's still basically only a sophomore, or a redshirt freshman. So we have a lot of, I think, talented guys. Tyler Johnson is a young tackle that people have kind of raved about as a tackle of the future. So I think a year from now, he's a guy that I would expect to see starting an offensive tackle and be kind of the first guy Auburn has recruited and signed out of high school that's, a good tackle in a while.
Yes.
So that's pretty exciting.
That's for sure. That's for sure.
But, I think we can't underestimate that Connor Liu is a guy that came in as a freshman and played the second half of the season at center, and I think he's going to be, a really solid, productive starter for years. And so we're going to have that continuity there, the steadiness,
yes.
and somebody that I think has, could be pretty good in that role. So
we need that. We definitely need that. I was going to ask you when we were talking about running backs. My understanding is that we're going to sign two running backs in the next class, in the next recruiting class.
Well, I think it makes sense. Hunter and Batie are both seniors.
Yeah.
Right?
So they're gone.
So. And then you'd be in a situation with like Alston Cobb and then the Sean Jackson, the former walk-on, mm-hmm. would be your only running backs on the roster. So signing two makes sense.
Yeah.
Two out of high school, because then you'd have kind of them developing behind Alston and Cobb. So we'll
Cobb
see.
Is another one, by the way, that I'm waiting for the show to start too. He had a few opportunities.
He had some flashes last year.
But it was his first year. But we know he is a monster waiting mm-hmm. to happen. So, Hunter, Alston, and Cobb, those three. I mean, Batie does his thing, and he's fine. But in terms of just an SEC running back that you're going to stick back there behind the quarterback, those three guys, any one of them should be able to at least not dominate, though there are going to be games that they do, but each one of them should be able to hold their own and accomplish. So the three of them together, I'm feeling like we're in good shape.
I agree. I mean, we have experienced and talented offensive line, and we have three SEC caliber running backs. We ought to be able to run the ball,
yes.
right, and take pressure off of Thorne or whoever.
Mm-hmm.
So then when they pass the ball, it could be a little more play action and a little less pressure on them.
That would be good. A little less pressure on Thorne would be a very good thing, I think.
Mm-hmm.
All right, tight end. I feel like we've been pretty well off at that position the last few years.
We did. Tyler Fromm transferred away, mm-hmm. but Luke Deal is back. He's probably going to be your guy. Brandon Frazier and Rivaldo Fairweather back. Fairweather, of course, is the stud receiver. Deal more mm-hmm. the blocker.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be fun to see. And then, Michael Riley Ducker was a young player that kind of came on at the end of the year and made some plays. And then we got a transfer from Maryland named Rico Walker, who's a sophomore. I think he and Riley are kind of the tight ends of the future, because Deal, Frazier, and Fairweather are all seniors.
Yeah.
So they're definitely going to be going.
I almost forgot about Fairweather, but he was a major weapon on this offense
last
year, which is what
he was
thought coming in. We thought he was going to be, and he was.
He was, and we thought, okay, we're going to need him to take pressure off the receivers, and he did, right? And we're going to need it again. But I think he could be if the receivers are better – then he won't be covered as tightly, and he can be even more
yes.
effective, right?
Yes. I honestly feel like having at least one receiver out there that is a threat will help every other position on offense.
Agree.
All right, and finally, we talked about the receivers, so let's just roll into them. We got a bunch.
Yeah, I want to read the names of the guys who are gone, not as a as you said. I'm not running them down.
Right.
But I just want you to your response to this list. Jair Shorter, Shane Hooks, Nick Martner, Amari Kelly, Malcolm Johnson Jr., and Javarius Johnson.
I'm not crying about any of them, really. I mean, Javarius Johnson had a moment or two, but other than that, I mean, those guys, that was like the underachieving Hall of Fame right there, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. So, again, Coy Moore, Robert Lewis are seniors. The juniors, we got Camden Brown, Jay Fair, Sam Jackson. Caleb Burton's a sophomore. And then at freshman, we got Cam Coleman and Perry Thompson, Bryce Kane and Malcolm Simmons.
Good gosh.
So, I mean,
backloaded.
To me, I look at like Caleb Burton, Robert Lewis, Cam Coleman are your starters right now today. And then, you know, probably some of the other freshmen.
Yeah.
Coming off the bench.
Why wouldn't they? For sure. I mean, the one, who was it? There's one that was a transfer that you just mentioned. Was it Georgia State he came from?
Yeah, Robert Lewis.
That's apparently really fast.
Mm-hmm.
That the defensive guys have been saying, man, he's faster than lightning or whatever out there. So that all sounds very good, too. Have a possession guy like Coleman or a big play guy, I guess, is more. And then a speed guy. Throw what Fairweather out there for another possession guy closer in. I mean, I can see our passing game developing right in front of my eyes when I think about those people, those players.
Yes.
So very encouraging.
It's a cumulative thing, right? When you have a guy that's the guy that could go make plays and take the other, you know, the defense's best shot, then it just, you know, it takes pressure off everybody else, right?
Oh, yeah,
and they could just go like, oh, I don't have to be the superhero. I just have to go do my thing and get open.
Mm-hmm. And remember, I mean, Thorne had some games where he ran all over. I mean, think about that Georgia game. He almost single-handedly beat Georgia. And by single-handedly, I mean he was like a very important and unexpected factor. Not, you know, but you know what I mean. Not out there by himself, but you know what I mean. So we'll see. I mean, you know, hope springs eternal, and spring football hope springs eternal and all that. So they can just get more comfortable in the offense and make some plays, find some separation for the receivers, get open, get the ball to them. My big fear going in is that our receivers can get separation, get open, and our quarterbacks cannot get the ball to them. That's what I'm worried about.
Listen, if that happens, I will be the most pleasantly surprised person in America. I think if they can get open, the guy, we have quarterbacks on the roster who can hit them, right? Now, is everything going to be perfect in stride and setting them up to make big plays all the time? I don't know about that, but I think, you know, I think there were a lot of plays last year where there was nobody open. So
yeah, well, that's we'll see. Any other thoughts about football practice before we got one? I got one other note, but I want to see if there's anything else before we get on to other topics.
No, I just, the other big part is the next transfer portal window is April 15th to 30th.
Okay.
So players that don't make a big move in the spring who are feeling way down the depth chart, we may see some transfers out.
Right. Do you know of any position we're looking to bring anybody in right now?
I mean, I don't think so, but maybe another defensive lineman because you never have too many.
Right.
But it'll be interesting. Like, what if the quarterbacks are all terrible on a day?
Oh,
they go, I think they could go out and get another one.
I was just going to say quarterback, and I said, I can't pull the trigger on that. I just can't say it. And John's the quarterbacks are terrible? I just didn't want to be the person to say, what if we go out and try to bring in a quarterback after A-Day? That would just be...
like we did last year?
Yeah, boy. Wow. Well, who was Thorne not with us for A-Day? Or?
It was the Robbie Ashford show.
Oh, wow. Okay. Man. So at least he's going through spring this time.
Well, that's the other big thing. It's like, this is what we learned with Thorne, is that he didn't go through spring practice, and it mattered.
Yeah.
Like, it really made a difference. And that's why him going through spring this year, I think, will help with connections with the receivers.
Yeah.
trust and stuff.
Timing and
so
all
I
that.
I think that's going to matter. Yes.
But he still won the job. What does it say for the other guys that he came in after spring and still won the job even without practicing with them? That's a sad commentary right there. But it's that's where we were. So I wanted to note, though, in all seriousness, that Frank Orgel passed away. He was Pat Dye's first defensive coordinator at Auburn. He was the guy, I guess, before Wayne Hall in 81, 82, around in there. Mm-hmm. So I can't remember if he's the coach that Dye like fired every game and then rehired after the game. Remember, he used to do that to at least one of the coaches. He would fire him during the game and then rehire him afterward when he'd calmed down. Dye was so funny to watch yelling and screaming at his coaches during the game. But yeah, I hate it. Sorry to hear that Frank Orgel passed away. All right, in basketball, we're saying goodbye to KD, which is sad, but apparently there was a conversation between Bruce and KD where Bruce told him, I want you to have joy playing and get your minutes, and I don't know that you're going to get your minutes next year. Because the guy, you and I talked about this, that how many mm-hmm. point guards do we need? Well, we found out Bruce has already thought that through, and so the alleged quote-unquote point guard, Pettiford, that we're bringing in isn't going to play point guard for us, at least not at first. He's going to score. He's going to be a shooter. And Lord knows we need that.
And he's a slasher and a shooter and a scorer. So, you know, we put him over there. He fills the KD spot of shooting guard off the bench behind Denver Jones. It doesn't put all the pressure in the world on him to come in and save the team mm-hmm. his first year. But that would definitely impact KD's minutes if he was still there. So I get it. I think KD wants to go somewhere and play. But I heard this, and I believe it, that KD wants to graduate from Auburn, so wherever he goes, he's going to stop like an hour short so he can come back to Auburn and graduate.
Take a class. Yeah. That's great. I definitely want to see him graduate from Auburn.
So I have not been shy about this. I love KD Johnson. He's an absolute maniac, and he's our maniac. He's our maniac. If he was on another SEC team, I would hate him, but he played for Auburn, and so I love him. That's it.
I've gone back and tried to find, like, Georgia film of his freshman year when he was, like, the best player on Georgia's team, and I hadn't found it yet, but I'm sure if
their coach was an idiot.
Yeah, didn't play him. But, yeah, he was. Let's see. So what else we got? Bruce had his press conference where he talked about Chad Baker Mazzara, and he basically said, leave my son alone, which I thought was really touching. He said nobody's harder on him than he's on himself, basically is what he's saying. So he gets
I think that's good perspective for any and also I think like stupid people online are not the universe. I think a lot of people have reached out and supported Chad and wished him well. But also there are people who, you know, want to say what they want to say and, you know, have hot takes online. And Bruce is like, none of that. So
I think, Bruce said that Chad is going to be an important part of the team next year. Mm-hmm. And I could see him putting on a little extra muscle in the off season, bulking up a little bit, but still being that Scottie Pippen slasher, tall, skinny guy, you know. And I could see him being a very important player on next year's roster.
Well, and you could see he, Chaney Johnson, and Denver Jones kind of being the core of the team next year with the two point guards coming back and this freshman. I mean, the other thing that's out there is this, fam. Mm-hmm. There is a scenario where the two centers come back.
Be interesting. I could see Dylan come back. I couldn't see Broom. I know there's been talk, but
I mean, I think part of the thing with Broom is if he's going to make the pros, I think if he was like a late first round pick, I think he would definitely go and be gone. But if he was going to be like a second round pick, then a lot of those contracts aren't guaranteed, and he could probably make just as much money on NIL from Auburn. So then it's a question of.
I keep forgetting that there's the world where we're competing with the NBA in contracts and stuff. It's crazy.
Well, and it's funny, the NBA's minor league folded because they can't compete. The G League, which stole a bunch of our good players over the last 10 years, folded because they can't compete with NIL.
Wow. No, I remember them very well. They took several of our big prospects over the years there. It came down to – it was always like they're either going to go to Auburn or the G League, and they go to the G League. So, well, By the way, I saw Bryce Brown have a big game for like a Greek team or something last week, and that's not a joke. That's where these guys go and make a living doing what they love, and God bless them that there's another place they can go if they don't all make the NBA, because they can't all make the NBA, you know.
No.
They go to Europe and tear it up.
Make money.
But
playing basketball.
I would love to see – I mean, shoot. If Dylan and Janai could come back and then the three guys – isn't it funny, though? You just said the core of the team next year could be Chad Baker Mazzara and Denver Jones and
Chaney Johnson.
Johnson. Those were like the new guys. You know, just a few months ago, we didn't even know who they were. And now they're the core of the team, along with our two point guards. So, yeah, I mean, I think if that happened and you bring in Pettiford, I think we're instantly a threat to actually win our first round game. You got to laugh or you're going to cry. You know what I'm saying?
Too soon.
It is too soon. Oh, Lord. It was too soon the day it happened. But, yeah, so Pettiford apparently is going to play like a shooting guard and get KD Johnson's spot. And apparently he is a big scorer, so that's definitely something we need, especially if we lose Janai. We need somebody to score. And if we do lose Janai, we got to go out in the transfer portal or something and bring a big guy, at least one big guy in. We got to.
They're out there now beating the bushes. There's a couple of big men who are – this is where we kind of need Janai to make his decision sooner rather than later. Remember last year it went on into like June.
Yeah.
We need him to make a decision in the next couple of weeks so then we can go get one of these big guys who's in the portal. And I think, you know, between Walker Kessler and Janai, if you're a big guy in the transfer portal, you got to look at Auburn and say, I can thrive there.
Oh, we took them both from raw clay that wasn't doing a whole lot impressive, just, you know, a little bit, enough to catch your eye, and turned them into NBA dudes. I mean, yeah, Walker Kessler's been doing great in the NBA, and I think Broome could too, depending on, you know, he's a little different type of player than Kessler, so, but we'll see. But anyway, yeah, so... yeah, we have to find somebody because we need somebody inside. You can't just
I think players would be attracted to Auburn. I'm just going to say that. I think there's a lot of good big men out there who are looking at that spot.
Did you see what the Purdue guy did to Tennessee? I mean, they couldn't stop him.
Oh yeah,
he did whatever he wanted.
I mean, he was the National Player of the Year last year. Came back to college, and he's pretty good. Edie, you know, but also like they. Lost in the first round last year,
yes.
And now they beat Tennessee and they're in the Final Four. So,
I knew they were saying this was like redemption for last year, and I'm like, I don't even remember what happened to them last year, and that's why I don't remember because they lost so early. Well, that's kind of us. They're kind of doing now what I want us to do next year.
Ding ding.
Yeah, I saw somebody on Facebook noted 2019 was the first year in many years that Kansas, Kentucky. And North Carolina, none of them made the Final Four. And I replied, because they all lost to Auburn, who did make the Final Four. I thought, yeah, we beat them all. We swept them. I feel like NC State this year is 2019 Auburn, right?
They've definitely got the bug of destiny. They were a play away from losing in the ACC tournament, and then they would not have made the NCAA tournament as an at-large.
Wouldn't have made the tournament. They're in the Final Four. No, that's what I'm saying is they went from a mediocre season like we had in 2019 to catching fire and winning the conference tournament like we did in 2019 and then getting to the Final Four like we did in 2019. So the only thing it's going to come down to is UConn's playing – Alabama, so they're playing Purdue, right? So it's going to come down to Purdue double dribbling, basically.
Well, but also I want you to think about this for a minute. Next year, when you see all these projections about who's going to be in the Final Four, who's going to go far in the tournament, just remember NC State.
Yeah, for sure. And they didn't lose their best player in the second round game either, or third round or whatever it was.
Nope.
I'm still bitter. All right. What about the brackets? What about our own little NCAA tournament, John? How is that shaping up? I did notice that out of the sum, let's see, we have...
almost 100 brackets.
Around 100 players, people playing. I know I'm tied for 25th. Mm-hmm. I know I'm tied for 25th. I know that you're a little lower than that.
That's being kind.
And I know that Boris is a little lower than that.
Yeah, Boris and I are in the bottom quartile, we'll say that and be kind. It's interesting because so many people in our brackets picked Auburn to win.
Yes.
That's kind of thrown the whole thing into chaos.
Yep.
At the top of the rankings now, Preston Settle, friend of the program, but he had Houston winning. Okay.
Yeah, so
it's second place, Michael Nobles.
I feel like Michael's got the inside track because not only does he have the
UConn.
He has the same number of points as Preston, but his maximum is way higher because he still has UConn. That's one of the things I like about this. It shows you how many points you have, but it also shows how many points you could have. And I'm currently maxed out. I can't go any higher than I am right now. But Michael Nobles, who's tied for first, has 780, but he could have 1,260 depending on what UConn does. So I feel like he's got the inside track.
Rich Reimer's in third. He also has UConn. And then
that's true.
And then Clay Henson, whose bracket name is Gooey Fries. But then fifth place is Larry Kane, who also has UConn, but his maximum is 1,350 points. Ooh. So he actually has a higher potential total than Michael Nobles.
He could
if everything goes Larry's way, he could be the winner.
He could come from fifth. He could pull a Miami Hurricanes 1983. And in the final poll, jump from fifth all the way up to first.
And then we go down to 18th. Josh Corbett, friend of the program, is the only person with Purdue, but his total potential points is lower. So
yeah, 1090. But he could, I guess he could
jump
win,
way up
though,
if Purdue pulls it out.
Yeah, Purdue. I was going to say the only reason I'm in 25th and not down around 100 with the rest of y'all is that I had Purdue in Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And I had Purdue winning. So that whole bracket worked out pretty well for me. The other three brackets, no. I got all my points from Purdue and Tennessee pretty much once Auburn lost. So so there you go, yeah. That's the NCAA tournament brackets. It's been a lot of fun. I was going to say, if you didn't play this year, I think pretty much everybody did play this year. It's
it's a great bracket. I want to thank everybody for joining. I hope you're having fun.
Yeah.
I want to shout out a couple of the other names. Mm-hmm. Bradley Blackman's bracket name is Spaghetti and Mazzara. I think that's pretty good. And then Tony Perry's bracket name is Virginia Double Dribble.
Fouling Without Defense from Stephen Houston is really good.
That's all. Listen, Fouling Without Defense. Patrick Williams' bracket is Best Thing Going Today.
Hey!
Jeff Lawrence's
bracket.
Whether
you like it or not, learn to love it, because it's the best thing going today.
Woo!
Jeff Florence's bracket is Spanky, God Wills It.
Hey!
God Wills It!
Oh, there's a Shock the World, too.
And March Madness, let's shock the world!
Well, I think we did shock the world, John, just not quite the way we wanted to.
Robert Salmon's bracket is Sleazy Shyster Bribes. And Mike Kirscher's bracket is Cardwell Energy, which I think is pretty good.
Nice. Very good. Very good. All right. There's no Fantasy Formula One update this week because there was no race this past weekend, but I'll be in Chicago, so I'll try to peek in on the race on Sunday morning, I guess, assuming it's finally going to be on Sunday and not Saturday. But we had the Grand Prix of Japan at what's it called? Suzuka or something like that. I believe it's the track is Suzuka. It's the figure eight one. It's the one that you go over and then under. So that's pretty cool. So we'll have a Formula One update for you next week. The book update is that our books are currently on Amazon now, including Virginia Double Dribbled. And then my Kickstarter is out there. The Kickstarter for my two new sci-fi books, the campaign launched, and then within like 12 hours, it made the minimum it needed. So it's going to happen, thank goodness. But now it's at 150%, but we still want to get people to come check it out. So just go on Kickstarter and search Van Allen Plexico, and you'll see it. We got to thank the patrons, as always. We don't have ads on this program except for our own stuff, so we depend on you guys to kind of keep the lights on in our studio, even when the studio is in Wittsville. Where is it?
Withville.
Okay, there you go. Withville. Withoutville. Sound like a Pink Floyd song. All right, so let's go ahead and thank the patrons. These are fine folks who went to www.auwishbone.com, www.auwishbone.com, and clicked on the big orange button to become a patron. They include Samuel Salvatore, who always points out that tonight's forecast,
a freeze is coming
with pearl white snow. And then we have, there's been some shakeup here. Brandon Sisson, Carl Von Drunker. Oh, I know what I did. Hold on a minute. I got the wrong button clicked. There it is. Okay, so there was Samuel Salvatore, Carl Von Drunker, Chris and Clinton Stewart, Dr. Crockham, Logan Chilton. When I heard Rule Britannia was gone, I said... I know, we all did. Ann Pridgen, Bill Weathers, Bradley Blackman, David WDE Sammons Esquire, Earl Ricks, Eric Morgan, Gary Grant, AKA AU fan at KSC, and 2024 AU Wishbone NCAA Bracket Challenge 78th Biggest Loser. 78th Biggest Loser. Okay, well. Harry Zager, Matt Flowers, Michael Kirshner, Phil Amthor. This is what I was saying during the end of the Alabama Clemson game.
This is the worst.
Yeah.
This is the worst.
Alabama Clemson.
No.
I tell you, John.
You know what I was saying? Damn it, Clemson. You can't do anything right.
Can't do anything right, Clemson.
Can't depend on those people.
We got Kentucky, North Carolina, and Kansas. They got Grand Canyon and Clemson.
Ding, ding.
Give me a break. And whoever their first round opponent was. Richard Stevens, starting July 12th, when Carol has a message for all the gamers on NCAA Football 24.
I am the only daddy you got. I am the damn paterfamilias.
Steve Trawick, Susan Trawick, Trombone Tiger, Willie Carden, Alex Browns, Auburn Football's Elvis, Ben Bloodworth, Bleeds Orange and Blue, Bob WDE Sammons Esquire, a.k.a. 76 Tiger, Sleazy Shyster 4.
Jones Barbecue Foot Massage.
The company so ubiquitous on our program, they even have an HR director on here as well as their lawyer. It's amazing. We have a new entry in the presidential sweepstakes. Boris for president.
Listen.
Please clap.
We don't get political on the show, but Boris, I'm with you.
He's up. He's got an endorsement. Boris has got an endorsement for president.
He needs to start a pack.
Boris pack. Well, I mean, he's already been seen in public with Aubie, and that certainly boosts your visibility and your support by a ton, so... let's see. Chad McDowell, Chris Hilton, Chris Thrash, Daniel Odom, Bobby. Hello, darkness, my old friend. It's kind of how I felt after Yale and after the Alabama Clemson game. H-Town Danny, In-Home Hugh, Jacob and Robin Fleming, Catherine England, Kevin Smith, Lane Middleton, Mickey B. Let's see. There's the...
I'm afraid that my condition has left me cold to your pleas of mercy.
Kind of use those interchangeably, the freeze is coming and pleas of mercy. My wife asked me to stop singing Wonderwall to her. I said maybe. I don't get it.
Wow.
I don't
maybe.
Get it.
That's the song.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, in that case.
It's the song lyrics for Wonderwall. Keep going.
Please clap.
Okay. I didn't know that. I'm not familiar with that song. No one fights like Gaston. Clearly not familiar with that. Apparently not familiar with that song either. Algo Rhythm and Blues. Paul Miles. Rhodesian Mudflap. Our old buddy. Rich Reimer. Rusty Owen. Steve Harlan. Theodore Gary. Wade Ward. WD Richie. This One Hurt. Yeah, well, amen to that. Wes Atkinson, William Morgan, Winston Boddy. Here's our new favorite one, John. This is the year Peyton Thorne has improved so much under this new offense. He's focused. He's having fun. I wouldn't be surprised. And that's where it runs out of space. Auburn Blue, Blake Heron, Boris the Tiger, Brandon Smith, Cato the Barner says there is no soundboard sound sweet enough to capture the fact that Mickey Dean is gone.
Please clap.
So not yet, but he's going, right? At the end of the season, something like that?
He announced his retirement after the season.
Okay, so people are happy about this. Charles Mooney, Corey Smyer, David D., David Simpson, Josh Teal, Kevin Mahan, Luther and Kelly Ottaway, Mandy Thompson, Melissa Blackstone, Papa Todd, Patrick Williams. Patrick always wants us to point out
whether you like it or not.
That's right.
Learn to love it, mm-hmm. because it's the best thing going today.
Philip Martin, Randall Walker, Rob Morgan, Russell Milling, Sarah Hines, Sasquatch, Shane Bailey, Shannon Butson, Stephen Houston, Tim Pittman, Timothy, Tony Perry, Walt Austin, Weagle87, Woody the Jag, at the Mad Reaper Pepper Company on Instagram. A few more patrons left. Alex Wynn, Hey You Falling Up, Barles Charkley, Ben Amos, Ben Regis, Chris Como, Chris Braun, Clay Henson, Construction Tiger, Daniel Barnett, Daniel Witten, Darren Pyle, David Smiley. Don't forget, don't forget first time ever refers to an Alabama school making the Final Four as well. Yeah, so we were the first Alabama school to make the Final Four. That's true. They can't take that away from us. And we just need UConn to take care of business. There's never been as big of a UConn fan as I'm going to be on Saturday or whenever the day is.
Give me a U. Give me a C. Give me an O. That's Give me it. An N and another N.
Yep. Doug Godfrey, Elizabeth Donald, we
gotta get better at celebrating.
I am Tiger, evil HR director of
Jones Barbecue Foot Massage.
I'll buy this for a dollar. James Taylor, Jim McCrory, John Otsuki, John Stubbs, Joey Miller, JT Jarhead, Justin Bean, Kenneth Brent Rains reminds us that the barbecue.
You have failed me for the last time.
AKA Auburnette for life. Mark Squire, MVP, captivating Kathy Bright.
You don't have any friends. Nobody likes you.
New York Tiger feels confident about overtime games now that Auburn will have a tie buster on the team. I guess we have a player named T.A.I. Buster, Tie Buster, on some team.
We'll get back to you on that one.
We'll have to look into it. I'm not sure. Paul Bankson, I'm not getting a lot of the references tonight, and I'm sorry. Rich Hammett, Royce Alvarez, Russell Souther, Ruth and Darren Southern. I've been holed up down here writing books for the last 6 months. Spanky, I'm the bottom of this list because...
Scott Wilson!
For while you can, the monkey boy.
Sports Illustrated's Auburn Elvis, Stephen Thompson, Steve Bailey, the Slinko family, Tim Sauls, Trevor Johnson, Brent Rumble, and our one-time and anonymous donors. We thank you all. www.auwishbone.com. I do not have a worst coaches in the world, although Calipari certainly, I think we did him last week, didn't we? So I think...
Van, John, the rest of the AU Wishbone family. This is Jared Albrecht, the yard sale artist, here with Guess the Game number 118. Guess the Game number 118 is brought to you by me, because I think I'm out of suggestions that everybody sent in. Again, it's kind of a nightmare tracking them from all the different sources. I do my best, so if I have missed you or forgotten a suggestion, please just send me a reminder. I will take no offense to sending a reminder. Some of you may have sent me a couple reminders. Just stay on top of me. I'll make sure it happens. But as far as I think I'm caught up. Anyway, let's go ahead and give a listen to this Guess the Game.
Quarterbacks have always been schooled not to turn the ball over, and that's why I didn't put that one up.
Pat, an observation on... do feel that maybe he takes off just a fraction of a count a little too quickly.
I think with the you're probably right, but I think what the coaches are saying, he's a great athlete as a runner. If nobody's open, kick off now.
14 yards to go for the first down. By the wide man. The blitz is on and he won't get it off. Fumble recovered by Auburn at the 33-yard line.
Okay, guys, I will see you in the hint file.
Man.
All right, that was Britt Musburger and Pat Hayden on the call, so this is an old game.
There was a lot of information in that clip, but I'm still kind of drawing a blank.
So, I mean, it was those two guys did not do normal, a lot of games that Auburn did. Okay. No. So they did, I think they did a lot of ABC games, so... maybe a bowl game or a big non-conference game on the road, but I'm talking about in the 90s.
Well, the The Auburn game I clearly remember Brent Musburger doing was the 94 at Florida when they were number one and we were on probation still and we beat them on the last pass from Nix to Sanders. That was definitely, but I don't know if it was Hayden and I don't know that it fit into that description right there or not, unless that was
okay,
sacking.
So, because the other information we got was that the other team had a very athletic quarterback that had been under some pressure and they were talking about maybe he should just tuck it or run it.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like Florida.
No. I think we need the hit file.
I think we're going to have to. I mean, this is tough. Jared's done come up with a toughie here, so let's go on to the hint file.
Here we are on the hint file. Let's get rid of those bleeps.
Georgia quarterbacks have always been schooled not to turn the ball over, and that's why I didn't put that one up.
Pat, an observation on Johnson. Do you feel that maybe he takes off just a fraction of a count a little too quickly?
I think you're probably right, but I think what the coaches are saying, he's a great athlete as a runner. If nobody's open, take off now.
14 yards to go for the first down. Thomas and Hummings are the wide men. The blitz is on and he won't get it off. Fumble recovered by Auburn at the 33-yard line. Ryan Smith belted it and Benji Rowland recovered it.
All right, gentlemen, I will see you in the answer file.
Did they say the quarterback name early and I missed it?
Johnson. But then they said Benji Rowland and Brian okay. Stith. So we're talking about like an 86, 87.
That's all right. If the quarterback is Johnson, that could be Florida State, right?
No, they said Georgia.
Oh.
He said Georgia at the beginning. So it's an Auburn-Georgia game.
From Benji Rowland was definitely 83, 84, right?
No. I thought he was.
Oh, 87.
I thought he was on the line
with Tracy Rocker.
Rocker.
Okay, yeah. So 86, 87 in there.
87, 88, somewhere in that range.
Well, we lost to Georgia in 86, so it's not going to be that one. Right. So it's either going to be 85 or 87 or 88. It didn't sound like it was in Auburn. I didn't hear a crowd going bananas, did you?
Okay, so maybe 87. I was at that game in Athens.
Yeah, 86 is the 86 is the one we lost, and we hosed down the dogs. Mm-hmm. So 88 was back in Auburn again. So 80, and we were at that one too. So 87.
It could have been 86, but it could have been 87. So I like 87.
No, it's not going to be 86. Either 87 or 88.
Yeah.
It's either 87 or 88. I like 87 too. Let's go with 87. Let's just all in 87.
All right,
Georgia.
John, manticulation. If you guys figured out that this is Auburn playing Georgia in 1988, you got it.
Dang it.
Clip was a little longer than I think it needed to be, but I really wanted to capture the fact the commentator said that the Georgia quarterback is coached not to turn the ball over, and then immediately he turned the ball over on the next play.
That's pretty
Anyways,
good.
If you have a suggestion for Guess the Game, you can reach out to me. I am at Yard Sale Artist on X, Facebook, and Instagram. Or you can email me directly. I am Jared, that's J-A-R-R-O-D, at theyardsaleartist.com. Until next time, Van, John, boy.
All right. So, I remember beating them in Athens in 87. The 88 one, I don't really remember much about that game. It just didn't stand out for me that.
I think our defense really took it to him in 88, but.
Yeah. Well, it took it to everybody that year. But, okay. Well, that was good. I guess now we'll just go ahead and segue right on over.
Thank you. Order questions to the Prime Minister.
It's time for listener questions. Dun, dun, dun. On the AU Wishbone podcast.
All right. So what's in the mailbag this week?
We have three listener emails this week. Two are from Auburn Elvis.
Oh, okay. Well, good.
The first one from Auburn Elvis says, "Hey, John, speaking as a listener, I'd really love to hear an update on the softball situation from that one listener whose name I can't remember who's really into softball.
Yeah.
Do you think you could reach out before the podcast and ask him?" I did not. That's why I'm reading this email. So we need to hear from you, Cato, about what's going on with softball and how you feel about the announcement.
Good deal. I'm curious too. I don't know enough about it. I know that we had a coach, manager, whatever, that was really good there, got us to like the national championship game and all that. And then there was some stuff that happened, and he was out. And then we brought in somebody else, and apparently since then it hasn't really been what we wanted. So
that's right. All right, and then the second Auburn Elvis email, it says, "Dear John and Van, I know by this point in the show you've both given your AU fun meter scores, but I humbly request a recount to ensure that Auburn Equestrian's SEC championship was adequately factored in the voting. Keep in mind the 3-seed Auburn not only upset, but manhandled both 2-seed Georgia and 1-seed Texas A&M on their record to a 6th straight conference title, incredible. War Eagle and War Horses, Auburn Elvis."
Just incredible. Yeah, that for sure. And did you see the Alabama people on Twitter were showing pictures of the Toomer's Corner rolling and saying that we rolled them because of, like, what was it? We thought they were going to lose or whatever.
That when Clemson was winning late in the game, we rolled Toomer's
Corner. Yeah, like that. Yeah. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. We don't roll it before the game is over, and we rolled it. The players, the jockeys, the riders, the athletes that are not horses. I don't think the horses were at Toomer's Corner, but the human part of the equation were at Toomer's Corner with the big SEC champion signs. And I gotta say, not since the heady days of our swimming and diving team have we dominated a sport the way we're dominating this equestrian thing.
We're an equestrian school for sure, and clearly, like, that program is doing it all, everything the right way. That's very impressive. And I appreciate Auburn always saying that, because I was saying we hadn't had any big positive news, and clearly we did, because we won another SEC title in equestrian.
That's a good point, yeah.
All right, our last email is from friend of the podcast, Bill Miner, who says, "Guys, I don't know if you feel cyclical at all with our rivals, but this isn't the Alabama team I dislike the most. Do you guys go through cycles of who you dislike the most? I don't mind this Alabama team as much as others, but it doesn't mean I don't pull for them. But I would have pulled for Tennessee had they made it."
Yeah. Well, no, I don't. The players on this Alabama team, with the exception of that dude with the mustache. Oh, God. No,
oh, Sears God.
I like Sears. I mean, if Sears transferred to Auburn, I'd be his biggest fan. Hey, I don't have a problem with him. He's fine. But that white dude with the mustache, ugh. No, I don't want him anywhere near my team. I don't like him. I wouldn't have him on my team. Get lost. Yeah. No, can't stand him.
Now, Riley Griffith, the stud, that guy's an assassin. So.
Yeah.
I said this online, and I'm going to say it again. Like, the Alabama fans themselves ran this team down all year and talked bad about it because they didn't play defense and they had some big losses. And they were so down on this team all season. And now this team is there winning. And I just think, like, all the bad things they said, if we could make sure they hadn't deleted them and published them now, it would be pretty funny.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so that's that.
That's it.
We fire up the Albie Mobile one more time.
Let's take a trip around the FTC.
All right, so is anything going on? The 2025 football schedule.
Yes.
They took the easy way, which is what we expected.
But they kind of stealth released it when we were busy with basketball stuff. They just kind of tweeted it out or whatever. So that it stays exactly the same as 24, but they just flip the home and away. So we'll go to Oklahoma in 25. You know, we'll have Alabama, Georgia at home. We'll get Missouri in Auburn, we're not playing Texas, we're not playing LSU or Ole Miss, so it's different. Yeah. But kind of, I also want to play Tennessee and Florida, right?
So. Oh yeah. Well, this just reiterates my prediction that we won't play at Texas until
2027.
Yes. Yeah. It's absolutely the last one.
You're exactly right. I think that's how it's going to be. And they're gonna, and it'll be the last possible game before we play Alabama or whatever. So they make Van wait as long as he can. but also, this is the SEC kicking the can down the road because they haven't got, you know, at the ESPN hasn't ponied up the money, and this allowed to do them in a way, keep it in a way where they didn't lose the, you know, the Auburn Georgia and Alabama Tennessee rivalry. So
Yeah, they're juggling a lot of interests.
They'll go to 9 next year, it's going to happen.
They're juggling a lot of interests and trying to make a lot of people happy.
And this didn't require any decision making, so that exactly. made it easy.
Right. This is just the converse of what they'd already decided on. They knew it worked one way, it would work the other way, so that's fine. And I don't have a problem with that. I totally expected it. I would have been shocked with any other outcome than this. And we did add Mercer, right? So we have our 12th, I guess, yes. opponent.
We had the full schedule for 24.
Was Mercer the team that was beating Bo Nix and we had to bring in TJ Finley?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Not Mercer, man. No, not them. Anybody but Mercer. I don't want to play them again.
Listen, I don't want to play Jacksonville State again either.
So. Oh, good gosh. The difference between all of them and New Mexico State is that New Mexico State actually won the game. All the Utah State was the one we came close to losing to. Right? There have been a bunch of those. We've flirted with disaster. We finally stepped off the cliff this time. But, man, yeah, that's that's the thing with playing a team like Mercer. There's absolutely no upside other than a win, and there's every downside potential, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I just feel like I wish you could get more of a name brand not very good team instead of a no-name brand not very good team. I don't know who you'd get, but Wyoming, you know, or
– They're a little scrappy.
Colorado State, somebody like that, you know. Iowa State, well, they're –
Arizona State's pretty bad. I wouldn't mind playing them right
Isn't
now.
Isn't Iowa State, though, a team you'd think Auburn would? Colorado. Isn't Iowa State a team you'd think Auburn would play occasionally? They just seems like a team we would have an affinity for, Iowa State. I don't know.
I mean, they're the agriculture and engineering school in Iowa. We did steal their president at one point, which is a terrible hire.
Oh, yeah. And their defensive coordinator.
And their coach.
Yeah. Mira is getting stuff from them in the mail now. We went to that college day about a month ago, and she talked to the Iowa State person who was very charismatic and enthusiastic about Iowa State. I'd never even considered it, and now she's getting something in the mail almost every day from Iowa State. So,
are you going to visit Iowa State?
I want to know why the Cyclone from Iowa State has a beak. Well, that never
made any sense. If you go to campus, you could find out this important information.
That's what I got to know. Can't send my daughter off to a school with a cyclone as a beak. What the heck? It sucked up a bird? It's spinning the bird around? I mean, you know, I don't know. Anyway. Well, at that, let's see.
So we had another thing on here. I'm saving it because we're going to have a long discussion about the playoff expansion and the SEC and Big Ten kind of bigfooting everybody and all that. And I want to.
They sure
do that the right way, and us take time to walk through all that. I'm very excited about the playoff. I'm very unhappy with how the SEC's been made.
Yeah. Well, we will discuss coming up. So, all right. Well, then I think at that point our time is up. We thank you for yours. War Eagle, John.
War Eagle, man.
Thanks for listening to the AU Wishbone. Find links to everything we do at www.auwishbone.com. For more Auburn fun, join us on Twitter at @AUWishbone and at facebook.com/AUWishbone. War Eagle.
The AU Wishbone is produced by Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer. Copyright 2020.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone Podcast.